From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square in Salt Lake City, I'm Jason Mathis from the Downtown Alliance, and this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center. Copper Onion has been around for a few years. It's one of downtown's most popular restaurants, and it's going to get a little addition to the family. Opening up in the next week will be Copper Common, a bar located just next door. Today we'll be talking with Ryan Lauder, the owner and proprietor, about Copper Onion, Copper Common, Plum Alley, the restaurant that he opened and then closed to open the new space. We'll talk about the food scene in Salt Lake City, about what it takes to run a successful restaurant, and the future for Copper Onion and Copper Common.
Copper Onion, for us, it was always the perfect space to do a bar. And, you know, I say a bar, it's a full-service restaurant.
All that after this news from the BBC. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining us today is my friend, Ryan Lauder, the owner and proprietor of Copper Onion, along with his wife, Colleen. Ryan, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're one of the, you're a popular chef in downtown Salt Lake City, and Copper Onion has consistently been ranked as one of the top restaurants in downtown. It's not extraordinarily formal, but I think the food and the ambiance, what you've presented to the city is definitely important to downtown and to our continued food evolution as a city. You actually grew up in Salt Lake.
I grew up in Sandy, Utah. Went to Alta High, right at the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon.
And did you always know you wanted to be a chef?
Not really. I think early on I wanted to go into forestry, and then it was, you know, possibly business, and it bounced all over the place.
So you grew up here, but you didn't start out your career here, right? I mean, you ended up going away to school.
Well, I kind of did. I worked at, if you remember, the American Grill at Cottonwood Mall. I was a server there. I worked up at Snowbird as a dishwasher and busser, and worked in the bird feeder up there that serves the plaza area.
Right.
Made pizzas. You know, I did a little bit of everything. So that was kind of my informal training, I guess.
So what was your formal training?
So I was living in Portland, Oregon. I attended the University of Utah and went into corporate finance, to corporate leasing. And that took me to Portland, and I had a pretty good job up there. Had a lot of extra time on my hands, so I started moonlighting at this place called Mother's Bistro in Portland, and just working for free at night.
As a chef or as a server?
As just a guy doing whatever.
Whatever.
You know,
I
always, you know, they'd have me like pressing French fries, and I'd just, you know, try to set a new record, things like this, and just kind of feeling out the food industry. And I loved it. You know, I grew up, both sides of my family were in farming, and, you know, my mother taught me how to cook and made dinner every night. And packed up my bags, sold my house in Portland, and drove to New York and attended the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America.
Yeah. How long ago was that? When did you go to the CIA?
That was, 2002?
Okay.
So I had a little bit of training. I went to the Culinary, which is about an hour and a half from the city.
Right. It's Hudson Valley, right?
Is it up? Yeah, it's Hyde Park.
Hyde Park.
It's right
okay.
Next to Poughkeepsie there. And every weekend I was in the city, I was what we call staging or trailing. So basically just kind of working for free and feeling out the better restaurants in New York City. The program was 8 months, a four-month externship, and then eight more months of the CIA. I went 8 months, went into the city, landed just a killer opportunity with restaurant John George, a three Michelin star restaurant.
It's one of the top restaurants.
And I never went back to the CIA. I was in a pretty unique position there, and all the chefs came to me and said, yeah, don't leave.
You're doing good. Yeah. You're learning more here than maybe you would have going back. So how long were you at John George?
For a little over 2 years. I worked my way through the stations, and I was the poissonnier, which is kind of like the lead fish cook, and it's really kind of a fish house. And I left shortly after we attained three Michelin stars, and then met a girl and took me to Colombia, where I was there for, a few months, and then we went to Barcelona, where I lived for a year. I ran a catering outfit, worked in a couple little restaurants.
But always kind of in the food business.
Always, always in the food business. you know, we went to Barcelona. My girlfriend at the time was working with a chef named Oriol Balaguer, who was a kind of like a high-flying chocolate chef, and one of Ferran Adrià from El Bulli, if you know the restaurant. He was pastry chef. And he had set up shop in Barcelona, and I just kind of tagged along. I'd always wanted to live outside of the country, and it seemed like a great opportunity.
Very cool. So what was it that brought you back to Salt Lake? Why did you decide that this was the place that you wanted to come and kind of hang up your own shingle?
Yeah. Well, after Barcelona, I moved back to New York City. I worked for Batali at Casamono for a little bit, and I always knew that I wouldn't last in New York City long term. I just wasn't built for that city. And I always thought I'd move back to Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Well, I started taking trips. Let's see, what was that? Probably 2008, 2009. And seeing the farmer's market, you know, the thriving farmer's market, seeing Pago start up and Tekashi and Bambara, and, you know, just thought, wow, well, maybe home is home.
And I remember meeting with you before, it was the first time we met, I think, and we were talking about an office location. You came into my office.
Yeah, that's right.
Where, and you didn't go any of the places I suggested, which is just as well. But you ended up opening up Copper Onion, how many years, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
4 years ago. 4 years ago. Let's see, December 2009.
All right. And Copper Onion was a, would you say it was an immediate success? I mean, were you worried opening up a restaurant? You had a finance background, you had a food background, so you kind of knew the business side and the food side.
Well, you know, Salt Lake, it's a different animal here than, let's say, New York City. And when I came to town, my wife, Colleen, was the opening manager, and she, you know, she ran events at Grand Central Oyster Bar and, you know, just really knows her stuff. But my sous chef at the time opening, Jameson Frank, was from Boise, so we didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, and in New York, it's different. You have a these higher end kind of restaurants, 60, 70 restaurants, and all the cooks rotate through those. So, you know, if this guy came from La Bernardin, or, you know, this guy came from Babo, you know what they're going to be like.
Right.
You just know. And it's a pretty small community there in that respect.
And Salt Lake's smaller in a lot of respects, though, in terms of, you know, there are a dozen, 20 sort of restaurants of renown, and you kind of know each other. You know Tekashi.
Oh,
you know Nathan
Powers
at Bambara.
It's a great food community.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
Can you talk a little bit about your philosophy of food, your philosophy of cooking, and maybe that can give some insight into why Copper Onion has been such a big success?
You know, I think that really developed. So I was trained in French, really, the CIA, spent time at restaurant John George that is French, and then went to Barcelona, worked in some Spanish restaurants, opened a Spanish restaurant. But I think what really set my course, you know, was being in Barcelona and seeing you have these markets in each neighborhood. Within the markets, you know, and they have nuts and lamb head and, you know, butchers and
it's
mushrooms.
A real
and
old
foragers.
World market.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you have these little open air restaurants. Oh man, it was amazing. I didn't have much money when I was there at the time, but I would sit there and have these little beers called Kenyas and just watch this open griddle, which is a plancha where they would cook. And then right around the corner from where we lived in the Bourne, there's a restaurant called Cow Pep. This guy Pep ran it, Cal being Catalan for house, so it's like, you know, Casa Pep. And just the best seafood you could ever get, the best ingredients, but really informal.
Yeah.
You know, Pep was dropping off plates, and he had this kind of sommelier type named Javier, and it was just this long counter. And it wasn't cheap, you know, but it was just like, wow, okay, you know, let's set aside the fussy service and captains and everything else and just serve really, really good food in a casual atmosphere. So I think that really developed kind of my style and, you know, what I like in a restaurant because I really think of it not as just like I'm a chef and, you know, it's just about the food. It's more the atmosphere. It's more the service and how that feels when you go in and sit down and eat through a menu. So what we did with Copper Onion is we tried to make the guy who's coming in, you know, fresh off the construction site and wants a burger and a, you know, a Lagunitas IPA. happy, and then also the, you know, the 4-inch heels that come in that want a nice glass of wine and a nice piece of fish. So we tried to capture all that business.
Approachable.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, there's something for everyone.
We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about Plum Alley, a restaurant that you have also owned that's sort of in a transitional stage, and then the new Copper Common that is that's opening up shortly. So we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC, a program that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Our guest today is Ryan Lauder, the owner, proprietor, chef of Copper Onion. Shortly after Copper Onion opened, you're a very entrepreneurial spirit. I think I can safely say that. you've done a lot of different things. You wanted to open another restaurant in some space that's in the same building, just down the street.
Right.
Can you describe sort of what your thought process was and how Plum Alley came to be?
Well, we took over the space, which the Plum Alley space, the old Plum Alley space, I should say, is next to the Copper Onion. So there's a parking garage that separates them. Same landlord, everything. Yep. And we had the opportunity to move in there. Well, we thought the you know, what would complement Copper Onion would be a bar. And, you know, we're food people, so of course we'd have food as well. This was, I don't know, 2.5 years ago or so. And I talked to the DABC and everyone, and 2-3 months to get a license. You know, we felt like we could live with that. Well, we got into construction, and there was something with the population estimate. It really pushed off licenses. They came back to us and said, nah, we're looking more like, you know, 1 to 2 years.
So waiting 2 years for a license.
Waiting, at the time it was like, wow, 2 years for a license. We can't sit on a space that long. So after hearing that, probably losing a couple of years off my life, we shifted gears. So we were halfway through construction in a space that was intended to be a bar.
Yeah.
And a restaurant, and you know, we thought, well, okay, what can we do that won't compete with Copper Onion, and that's not a bar, because we're not going to do a bar with a Zion curtain, right?
Right. So you could still get a restaurant license. It was the bar license.
Exactly.
That was a 2-year wait. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we opened Plum Alley, and you know, it was an unplanned child, but it was a good one, you know. You know, really how fast we had to throw that together, and it turned out great.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Rachel Hodson came in the middle of that thing. Rachel's our designer, who's just, you know, she's amazing with the space. You know, it never felt right to have Plum Alley in there. We always wanted to do a bar. So about 6 months ago, we were given a club license, and we had hoped to move Plum Alley around the corner immediately. That kind of fell through.
Right.
And the wheels had already started turning on kind of developing this bar concept. Well, they have for, I guess, the past, you know, years, right?
You've had a long time to work on this bar concept.
So we've put Plum Alley in a box for now. We're looking at a couple locations, and we're looking to open up Copper Common, which is the new bar, next week.
Next week. So really a quick turnaround. You shut down for business 1st of February.
Right.
At Plum Alley, and then you've turned this around in just a few weeks to create this new Copper Common bar.
Exactly. And, you know, the way we can do this is Rachel Hodson, who's a, you know, her history is being a producer for still photography, you know, Citibank and these, these huge outfits,
Commercial
Bank of America.
Yeah.
And so we can go into a space. There's a lot of planning. There were 6 months of planning on the bar, but we basically build everything. She creates a schedule for the contractors, and we go in, and it's just fast and furious.
It's pretty amazing to turn it around that quickly.
It's really amazing, and I can't really take credit for that, but she does a really good job, and you know, our contractors are pretty amazing.
So what can people expect? People, you have a following. People are very fond of Copper Onion. I should point out that space that you're in had other restaurants. Mr. Z's was there. There was a Japanese restaurant there.
Sapporo.
Yeah, people would be there for a little while. But you have really made it last. I mean, sometimes I think people were worried about the space not being a good fit. I think it's helpful to say that if you've got the right restaurant, the right restaurateur, people who understand the business and food, that the location is important, but maybe isn't the final most important determinant of a restaurant's success, because Copper Onion, Plum Alley, and now Copper Common are all located in that stretch right next to the Broadway cinemas. You've got some nice synergy going with the Broadway cinemas as well.
Right. You know, I like the location. Yeah. I like where it was right next to a movie theater. It was kind of a challenge, you know, as far as decor and design matching something, well, complementing the building, right? But, you know, I really paid a lot of attention to restaurateurs in New York City, Keith McNally being one, who owns Balthazar and Pastis a number of others. He really didn't care where, you know, in the city where he would build a restaurant. It was more about the space and the box, and then he'd develop a concept. And that's kind of, you know, the route we've taken. And that's one of the challenges with moving Plum Alley, is that we've developed this concept, and now we're trying to fit it into a box, whereas we'll usually look at a box and develop a concept. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
So with the new bar opening next to Copper Onion, it was, for us, it was always the perfect space to do a bar. And, you know, I say a bar, it's a full-service restaurant. It has a full menu. We really want our bartenders out there front and center. We want to show off our bartenders, basically. I mean, they're your tour guide to the city. They're your marriage counselor. They're, you know, a little bit of everything. And they're also the eyes on the dining room. They're aware of somebody being overserved more than anyone else in the restaurant.
They're professionals, right? I mean, that's one of
their
jobs.
They're professionals, exactly. And when you keep them hidden behind walls, one, you know, take yourself back to single digits, right? And if somebody's, you know, got their hands behind their back and they say, this is bad for you and I'm not going to show you what it is, you're going to be curious,
right?
Rather than educating them, this is something for grown-ups. That's what we're trying to do. We're opening a bar. It's a full-service restaurant. And we think having a bartender out in the open makes sense for our concept. And as soon as we can, we don't want to turn Copper Onion into a club license just because of the restrictions with people under 21. But we'd love to turn that front area, open that up, put a nice little oyster bar in there.
You guys designed it in a way that if the Zion Curtain is ever set aside, you're able to make that transition. You could actually have a bar setting in the Copper Onion.
In the Copper Onion, yeah. We have this nifty little wall that kind of separates our counter from our bar area that's very kind of, I like to think of it as James Bond. You know, it's a one-way mirror. So, you know, our bartenders can see what's going on, you know, at the counter there. And still act as you know, serve the counter. And I think we achieved that.
What kind of food, what kind of ambiance are you anticipating with Copper Common? Is it going to be similar to Copper Onion right next door? Or is it going to be a little bit different?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like Rachel says, it's kind of Copper Onion's, you know, darker little brother. It's got a high gloss, black ceiling, slapboard ceiling. It's a little more masculine than Copper Onion. We'll have kind of an oyster station at the bar. We're doing a patty melt. It'll be pretty fish heavy.
Yeah.
We get orders from Monterey a couple of times a week. We really want to show that off. Some of the wild shrimp we get out of Florida, and it's going to be fun.
Cool.
It's going to be great.
Cool. And so a fish heavy menu, full bar, an opportunity. You guys have some pretty unusual cocktails. This will be an opportunity for people to experience that maybe at even a bigger, better level with what you've got going on at Copper Common.
Right. So our lead bartender is Mo Seagrave Daly, and we've been working on this thing, on the cocktail lists and pairings and things like this for months now. But one unique thing we're doing that I think is just awesome is that we've special ordered a lot of these aperitif and digestif liqueurs, right? And a lot of these, which, you know, they're kind of trendy through the country right now, but a lot of these liqueurs pair really, really well with certain cheeses and chocolates. So we'll have a list, you know, kind of in the dessert section of these pairings, and they're just killer. You know, I mean, we spent time with Matt Caputo walking through a lot of cheese and a lot of chocolate and a lot of booze.
How hard for you? How tough? I'm sorry to hear that. That's challenging experience.
That's not the harder part of my job, that's for sure. But, yeah, it's great. We're going to have a market shot on the cocktail menu that will rotate with the seasons. We're always switching up our cocktails at Copper Onion and at the new Copper Common. And man, that bar's built for speed. It's pretty serious. And the decor is, you know, we have these exit lights from this movie theaters, I think in like the 30s or 40s. And we have these smoked antique barber shop lights that are over the bar. I mean, it's beautiful.
Very cool.
It's shaping up. It's really, really nice. Whole maple bar. And yeah, it's gorgeous.
Well, I, for one, can't wait. I'm excited to check it out. I'm excited to see it. You've mentioned a few people, Matt Caputo. You've talked about other restaurants in town. Maybe just as we close the interview, if you could talk a little bit about the food community in downtown Salt Lake City, how you see that coming as you have from Barcelona and New York and Portland. You've seen other food communities. How does our food community work? What is sort of the trend or the persona of who we are as a city?
Well, it's the chefs are friendly. The industry people are really friendly. And that, you know, when I came to town, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, the first thing I did, I went to Pago, talked mm-hmm. to Mike Ritchie, who was the chef there at the time. I went to Forage. I talked to Viet and Bowman. And those guys were amazing. They really were. They helped me with, you know, I went in there. Where do I order food? You know, yeah. How does this work here? And, you know, the food community here, I feel like it's more with the chefs anyway. A lot of the managers, it's more supportive than other cities that I've been in. New York's very competitive.
Sure.
And, you know, you it's kind of, you have your groups, I guess. But here it just feels like everyone gets along, which is great. This chef supports that chef, and this restaurant supports this new restaurant. And I mean, that's key in a city.
Well, we're excited. Awesome. We're excited to welcome a new member to this family with Copper Common mm-hmm. as you get ready to open that. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for what you're doing for downtown. We really appreciate it. Your contributions. You're really helping to create this dynamic urban community. And I wouldn't ever be able to adequately thank you for all the stuff that you're doing for downtown Salt Lake City. We really appreciate it.
Well, and thanks to you and the Downtown Alliance too. And like you said at the first of the interview, it was one of my first stops. So you guys have been a great help in kind of guiding us and directing us and, you know, build more restaurants.
Cheers.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for coming in.